Thank you very much, Mr. West Tuttle. People on the internet did not hear me singing that beautiful song with you. Okay, let's open the Word of God, if you will. Well, I'll tell you what. Before we open anywhere, let's get started in our momentum, and the passages we'll turn to will befit where we are. So let's begin with the word of prayer. And in regard to our prayers, we certainly want to be in prayer for Thomas, as always. The Lord will continue to heal his knees and work on the medicine balance. Please be in prayer for John Hintz and Judy Hintz. They're both down. They've not felt good at all since Sunday. And so we need to be in prayer for John and Judy Hintz. And Dana Reynolds used to worship with us. He is in the hospital taking both radiation and chemo. And so please be in prayer for him at this time. And all over his body. No. So, I think he told me he's 59, somewhere in there. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. Oh, excuse me. Cindy, yes. All right, let's be in prayer for Charlotte. And let's say Charlene. Let's be in prayer for each other. Wait a minute. Yes. Yes, we definitely want to be in prayer for Deborah, Wes's daughter. She has recovered from the wreck, but a lot of work needs to be done, a lot of expenses, a lot of things need to be taken care of, so let's be in prayer for her. Any other prayer requests? Please be in prayer for Judith's mother, Christine, and at this time. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful that we have a loving Father that we can come to with our prayer request, or let our problems be made known to you. And Father, we pray now that the Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to learn from this very important episode of the three denials of Peter in all four of the Gospels, known throughout the world. There are things we need to learn. Father, I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we have studied now the all three denials by Peter of Jesus Christ in the four Gospels. And it's time now to learn some things from Peter's three denials, not to judge him, but to learn from him. We want to be warned from Peter. And I'm going to divide this up into different parts. And part one, lessons to learn from Peter himself. Lessons to learn from Peter himself. And I'm not sure if I were writing a book, I'd go through and put them in probably in different order, different things, but let's just go through some lessons we need to learn from Peter's three denials, from Peter himself. And the first thing I think we need to learn, the depth of the hurt in the soul. The depth of the hurt in his soul. His weeping describes a crying that goes deep into the soul. Emotions are greatly disturbed. He wept bitterly, wailed. People, this is not only the shedding of tears, but deep internal grief. And I want to start with this because where we're going to end up is going to be what God does with this. But we want to look at his condition that he's in his life. This is the same word used of Jesus Christ weeping for Jerusalem. In James 4, it is used in the whole recovery process of a believer weeping. And then, of course, with Peter, we had the word bitterly, with bitterness, cruelty. Peter wept bitterly because he had denied his Savior, his friend, his companion. And they lived near each other in Capernaum. Now, we don't know exactly where Jesus stayed. We don't know exactly where Peter lived for sure. But we know Capernaum's not a very big town, I can tell you that. So they lived very close to each other for quite some time in Capernaum, besides traveling together for the 3 years. But as low as he got, as low as we may get in life, Jesus Christ never, the point is you never want to give up hope as a believer in Jesus Christ. You never give up hope, no matter how low you fall. Peter will recover. Peter will be restored, and not only used by God, but he will be the author of two books of the Bible, the Holy Word of God. That's pretty much a recovery. And so as low as you can fall, God's love is there. God's love is there to pick you up and cause you to stand if you'll allow him. And we're going to see as we go through these things, lessons from Peter, faith is the battle. The absence of faith brought Peter down. The presence of faith will cause God to lift him up. The absence of faith brought Peter down. The presence of faith will allow God to lift him up. And I'll come to some passages on that as we go through. Point two. Another great principle we'll learn from Peter, the greater the magnitude of love determines the test of love. The magnitude of love determines the test of love. The more you value something, the more you love something, the greater the test. It's no test if there is no love. There's no test if there is no love. I've heard people, I think I got it somewhere else in my notes, but just to say it now, I go, people, if you had just tested me in some other way, not this way, not here, not take my child, not take my marriage, take my life, take my health, whatever it is, well, people wouldn't have been a test. It's when we value something deeply that it's a test. If Peter did not love Jesus Christ, it would have been no test. He would not have wept bitterly. Now, I hope that each of you can understand from human love what this principle, the greater the love, the greater the test. But people, this is true in spiritual love, love from the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ wept for Jerusalem. You've got to understand Jerusalem's place in the plan of God and to Jesus Christ. He loved Jerusalem, and to see her fall spiritually caused great sorrow. And then that she was going to fall politically and militarily. So, we see this principle in Peter. In the flesh, he loved Jesus Christ. In the flesh, he denied it. And it crushed him. It crushed him. The deeper your love, the more severe the test. And people, this is why some people, they just do not love. Maybe they've been hurt somewhere in their life, but they do not want to do that. They will not love anyone. They will not allow themselves. They build a wall around them that no one can penetrate. Now, you don't want to refrain from love. We saw the study of a life without love in 1 Corinthians 1 through 4 before we got to the great dissertations on love. A life without love. The answer is not to refrain from love, but to always put that love in the proper place of the plan of God. But this just, we're just getting an understanding of Peter. The depth of Peter's fall was because of the depth of his love. Point three. Now, I've hinted to this, but let's just get right to it as a major point. The battle of Peter was not a battle of love. The battle of Peter was a battle of faith. The failure of faith. Not the failure of love, the failure of faith. We're seeing this right now in Romans chapter 5. The failure of faith by the first Adam in Romans chapter 5. The presence of faith in the second Adam, Jesus Christ. So we're going to see that the failure of Peter was a failure of faith, and I'll show you that in regard to the Lord's Prayer about Peter. Four. Peter will recover. His faith will return due to the prayer of his friend, Jesus Christ. When we talk about the power of prayer, here's a perfect example of the power of prayer. Peter's faith will return because his friend, Jesus Christ, prayed for him. Many people believe that you lose your salvation if you deny Jesus Christ. You believe in Christ and then you deny him. Well, if anyone should have lost their faith, lost their salvation, it'd be Peter. He did it three times blatantly, increasingly each time. If anyone was going to lose their salvation because of denial of Christ, it would have been Peter. But he did not lose his salvation, and his faith returned. How much faith? A grain of a mustard seed. And we're going to take a look at his recovery as we go through this study. Point five, Judas, a servant of Satan, will also weep this night. And he will weep that he betrayed Jesus Christ. But his weeping will be different and have a different effect on Judas than it did Peter. Judas will weep and then commit suicide. Deep remorse of Judas can make a person miserable to the point of death. You never want to get to that place as a Christian. But the remorse that Judas had can lead a person to take their own life. Now, the point is that Judas is not saved. He is not saved, not because he betrayed Jesus Christ with a kiss, but because he never believed in Jesus Christ as his Savior. He never put faith in Jesus Christ. The only hope for Judas on this night was faith in Jesus Christ. 6. Orientation to denial. Orientation to denial. I know some of these are redundant, but it's hard to build all of these up without being somewhat redundant. Now, Peter, in point 6, does not lose his salvation because he denied Jesus Christ three times. Now, denying him three times sets a pattern of denial. The main thing we want to remember is that Peter has already believed in Jesus Christ as his Savior. But he set a pattern in his life of denying. And if he had been tempted or challenged 100 more times, he had denied him 100 more times. That's why the three set the pattern. Three set the pattern. Once a person believes in Christ, they are saved forever. They cannot lose it, even by denying Jesus Christ. But what we're going to know later, and we're going to take up our lessons for this, and we're going to see, be careful of the patterns in your own life. Be careful of the first little pattern. Remember that first little denial? Wasn't a big deal. I don't know what you're talking about. No, not a real strain on him. But the second one, and then by the time he got to the third, he's denying and cursing and swearing and weeping bitterly. The second lesson, principle from denials, Satan is not after you. Satan is not after Peter. Satan is after Jesus Christ. See, I'm more important than Jesus Christ. That's what he's after. It is a feather in Satan's cap every time he can get a believer to deny Jesus Christ. As we're going to see with Peter, he's through with Peter. Got Peter away, chunk him aside. Just cast him aside. Don't need you anymore. I've got what I want out of you. You've denied Jesus Christ. And it's him that I want. But even with that, Jesus Christ is there to welcome Peter back. But I want you to understand that Satan's objective is to get us to deny Jesus Christ. But it's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about putting Christ down. And every time he can get someone to deny Jesus Christ, he thinks he's won. And Christians come along and say, oh, you can lose your salvation. No. denying's not that powerful. Satan's not that powerful. More powerful than the work of Christ on the cross. 7. Is denial a sin? Is denying a sin? People, let me tell you something. Every time we sin, we're in denial. Do you understand that? Every time we sin, we are in denial. We are denying that God can take care of this problem. I don't care if we become angry while driving. I don't care if we steal. I don't care if we malign and gossip. I don't care if we murder. I don't care what we do. Any sin is a denial. Can I remember that? Every sin is a denial of the power of Jesus Christ and the person of Jesus Christ. It's grieving the Holy Spirit. It's denying the plan of God. That's what we're doing. This is a spotlight put on Peter. It's a spotlight put on open denial. But people, it's a spotlight on every one of us. Every time we sin, we're in denial. We're in denial. I can take care of this myself. I don't like the way God is taking care of it. I'm going to handle it myself. And then stress, anxiety, depression, or sadness, sin. Why? Because we deny Him. Why do we have stress in our soul, anxiety, depression, sad in our soul? We're denying Him. You're not capable of handling this. I'm pulling out my faith right now. You're not capable. I need to be depressed about this. So anytime we sin, we're in denial. Point 8. Yes, Satan brought Peter down. Yes, Peter denied Jesus Christ under Satan's siege. But see, Peter had already crossed the line. He had already believed in Jesus Christ as his Savior. And his misery and the prayer of Jesus Christ is going to lead him to coming back to Christ. But I want you to understand, Satan won. And we're going to summarize this for all of us, but to give you what I'm trying to say here is, when you fail, see, Satan's won, okay, so he's won. When a believer sins, okay, so they've sinned, so they failed. Satan won. But he hasn't won the final victory. Point 9, here's a lesson for each one of us. Why did Satan really lose, and why is Peter able to return? Because of the prayer of his friend. Because of the prayer of the very one he was denying. How about that? Jesus Christ. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And let's just read verses 31 and 32. Jesus Christ is speaking. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. And look at his wonderful response. Here's what kind of Savior friend we have. But I pray for you that your faith may not fail, may not be totally eclipsed. And when once you turn again, strengthen your brothers. And we've studied this prayer before, but we need to really spend a lot of time on it. Just meditate on it sometime. Think about it. People, prayer leads to faith recovery of another person. Encouraged by prayer of a friend. How does that work? I don't know all the ramifications. All I do know is the prayer of a righteous can do mighty things. And Jesus Christ prayed for Peter. So when someone sins, fails, and they're out, people don't judge them, malign them, all these things. Be in prayer for them. Prayer is powerful. James says the prayer of a righteous one can accomplish much. It's going to accomplish the recovery of this Peter. Also, you can read 2 Corinthians 7, 9 through 11. James chapter 4, 6 through 10. We won't take time tonight, but you can put those down. All right. 2 Corinthians 7, 9 through 11. James 4, 6 through 10. Peter is going to allow his weeping bitterly, his tears, to lead him to repentance, lead him back to faith recovery. Satan won. Satan succeeded in sifting Peter. Satan got what he wanted. He brought Peter down, getting Peter to deny Jesus Christ, just as he won with Job. See, you got to understand, as soon as Satan won by taking their souls, getting them to deny Jesus Christ, all these type of things, he thinks he's won. But in the spiritual warfare, you got to remember, it's not just the failure, the sin, or the denial. It's what you do now. It's what happens now. And this is what we have going on in this great study. See? Peter's going to recover. The prayers of Jesus Christ are far greater than Satan can ever do to us, people. And the prayers of a righteous person, a born-again believer, filled with the Holy Spirit, can work wonders to combat Satan. Got to learn from the three denials of Peter. No one loses their salvation by denial, and the power of your prayers for such a one. Got to remember those two things in regard to the denial. Point 10. Because of the prayer of Jesus Christ, Peter will recover. Peter will make faith recovery and be greatly used by God. Never want to forget that. Never want to forget when a believer sins and fails, they can be greatly used by God. The problem with a lot of Christians, they have a non-forgiving soul, non-forgiving spirit. A lot of times a believer is going to have to do this on their own because a lot of Christians aren't going to let them. They're not going to let them forget. They're not going to let them recover. God is greater than that. I'm going to use a public figure here. Most people in the Christian realm know about it. Jimmy Swaggart had a powerful ministry going. He failed. He sinned. And I'm not even sure what his total sin was, but nevertheless, he was brought down. And a lot of Christians keep riding him, judging him, maligning him. He can never be used by God. He is being used by God today in powerful ways. But you see, people, you got to understand, it's not the failures. It's what God can do with us. So point 10, because of the prayer of Jesus Christ, Peter will recover. Peter will recover. And this is what kind, people, this is what kind of God I have. I don't know what kind of God you have. This is what kind of God I have. This is the God I see in the Bible, in the Scriptures. Christians are so eager to take away someone's salvation. It's just amazing how they just love to take, oh, you're not saved. But what an arrogant pronouncement. How arrogant. But they love to do it. They're so quick to take away salvation. God is so quick to give it. Well, let's argue how much you got to know. That isn't enough. You've got to believe it. And boy, we love to fight about it. God is looking for a grain of mustard seed of faith. Just a little bit more than no faith at all. And He saves eternally. He restores from sin. He uses. He blesses. That's what kind of God I have in the Bible and see in the Bible. Point 11. His soul will recover from the damage of denial. Okay, what is the damage of denial? The damage to his flesh, arrogance. And people, this is good. What happened to Peter is good. Very good. It will crash his flesh, arrogance. And we know that from the end of John 21, where Jesus Christ said, "Do you love me?" Agapao, Peter said, "No, I phileo you, but not agapao." He learned his lesson. We know that's why that little addition's on the back. We know Peter learned. So what we want to see is that his soul will recover from the damage of the denial in a powerful way. And that's good. So no matter how deep you fall, even in denial of faith in Jesus Christ, do not go into hopeless despair. Because the love of God is greater than your fall. The power of the Holy Spirit can cause you to be restored and move on and be used by God. It's just amazing how people are so quick to take it away. There's a whole branch of theology right now called replacement theology. Well, Israel failed miserably, so God has taken away all the covenants and all the promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Davidic covenant, and all of these things. He took it all away because they failed. What kind of God do you have? Is that what kind of God you have? People, you've got to be careful making pronouncements. You want to think things through about God. What kind of God do we have with Peter? What kind of God do we have with Israel? What kind of God do we have in our own lives? And finally, 12, forgiveness. Forgiveness. We learn enough to write a book about forgiveness in the study of Peter and his three denials. First of all, from Jesus Christ himself, who not only did he not take Peter's salvation away, but he forgave Peter without Peter even asking for it. That's very important. He forgave Peter without Peter even asking for it. People, this is what spiritual love does. This is what spiritual love will do. Spiritual love will forgive even before if asked and even if not asked. Secondly, forgiveness is not about the person who needs forgiveness. It's about the one who forgives. It's about Jesus Christ. God the Father forgives us all when we were unbelievers because of the work of Christ on the cross. We didn't even know to ask for it. We're all sins are forgiven at the cross. So point two, forgiveness is not about the person who needs forgiveness. It's about the one who forgives. In this case, Jesus Christ. Point three, we learn about forgiveness from Peter's fellow disciples who immediately welcomed him back into their company. Now, I'm going to come back to them. So let's just let this be the principle at this point, at this night, whether they knew about it or not, I'll come to that. But they welcomed him right back into their company. He was with them the morning of the resurrection. Four, forgiveness, when extended and accepted, brings about restoration. No one will, people, not everyone's going to accept your forgiveness. How many people accept Jesus Christ's forgiveness at the cross and believe in him as Savior? Not very many. Not in the total number of the population in history of man. Not me, but they're all forgiven. Not everyone even desires your forgiveness. But just remember, God forgave everyone of their sins at the cross of Christ. Therefore, the only issue is what think ye of Christ. And before we leave this forgiveness and the three denials of Peter, on what basis are we to forgive? They ask for it. They deserve it. All these type of things. Let's find out. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. On what basis do we forgive? Ephesians chapter 4, and let's look at verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Now look at verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as. There's your basis of forgiveness. Just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. What's the basis of our forgiving someone? Who they are? No. What they've done? How they grovel on the floor begging? No. God forgave us in Christ. My good friend Whitaker Chambers, who I can't wait to see in heaven, he put it this way. Christians have the greater right of forgiveness, but the unbelieving world is far more forgiving than Christians are. The unbelieving world, now they don't have any norm and standard for it. They just, I'm not going to hold a grudge. I forgive you. Let it go. Let's go. This type of thing. All people are basically good. People are basically good. No, they're not. But you and I have a greater ground of forgiving somebody, anybody, everybody, than any unbeliever, any person in the world. And that is because Christ was crucified and rose again. There's our grounds. Be kind to one another. Where's kindness? That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Forget the chapter break. Look at the next one. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. How are we going to be imitators of God? Forgiving as God does in Christ. That's how we do that. Okay, part two. Second major part from learning of the from the three denials of Peter. Point one, boasting. Boasting. Be so careful when you boast. We're seeing boasting in 1 Corinthians on Sunday morning, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and here it is again in chapter 4. Peter boasted of his love for the Lord, but he boasted in the flesh. And three significant things happened to Peter in regard to his boasting. First, he ended up not backing up his boast, but actually denying Jesus Christ three times like a little coward. A pitiful little coward. Secondly, in the Gospel of John 21, Jesus Christ had fervent conversation about true love with Jesus, with Peter. Wanted to find out if Peter learned about boasting. Three, Peter will learn total dependence on the Holy Spirit. Peter will learn total dependency on the Holy Spirit, and then he will die for Christ as he boasted in the flesh, but he'll do it in the power of the Holy Spirit in a powerful way. Most of you know the story. They were going to crucify him. He said, not even as our Lord, upside down. They crucified him upside down. Secondly, patterns of life. Patterns of life. Three denials establishes a pattern in Peter's life. Be careful of the patterns in your own life. Just watch for them. Be aware of what's going on. I'm going to use a flesh example just to show you how this thing works. Boy, you're really doing good. You're going to the gym. You're watching your diet, on and on and on. And then you run out of time. What's the first thing to go? Exercise. And then when that goes, well, now I'm just sitting here and feeling good, I'll eat more. So you start eating more. And before you know it, boom, it's all gone. Okay, watch what happens. First thing that goes is your exercise. Well, even before that, church attendance. You're too busy. You got too many other things to do. And pretty soon you miss a week. Miss a day or two, and then you miss another one, and then pretty soon you find out you're doing okay without it. See, that's what's wrong in America. We're doing okay without it. We're doing okay spending more money than we take in. spending more money, borrowing more money to make, and that makes good mathematical sense. What happened? We're getting away with it. So when you start having patterns in your life and you see, you know, I'm getting away with this. I'm getting away with missing Bible class, not praying as often in my life, not giving to the Lord. All these types of things, it starts forming a pattern, and you're not even aware of it. And then after a while, what starts to happen? Well, you got to change your friends now, because your old friends are at Bible class. Your old friends are at church. Your old friends are praying. Your old friends are talking about the Word of God. So now you need some new friends that aren't doing that. And it just slowly evolves, hopefully not to the point where you start denying Jesus Christ. 3, we have to learn about being alert. It comes right off of the patterns. Got to learn to be alert. Peter was not alert. How many times did we study it? He was not alert to what was going on in his own life in this one night. He was not alert how much trouble it took him to get in. He was not alert that he denied, walked away, and still came back for more. He just wasn't alert to what was happening. You've got to be alert. You've got to be awake to what's going on. If we pay attention, we can tell when we're about to be unfaithful in our spiritual life, in our married life, in all these things. You can tell. You can tell by your own thought process. These are not the thoughts that I ought to have if I'm married to this person. These are not the thoughts I ought to have if I'm going to go to church and grow in the Word of God. You've got to pay attention to what's going on in your life. And I picked out a few things from the Bible, not all of them by any means, but a few that we want to be aware of here. 1, we are to be alert on the return of Jesus Christ. Let's look at Mark chapter 13, Mark 13. Mark 13, and let's just read from verse 33. Take heed. Keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time is. Now, I can tell you right now, in fact, I've been asked, do I think that we're closer to the rapture? Well, I like John Hintz's response. We're closer than Paul was. So, we're close. We're close. Take heed. Be on alert. Keep on alert, for you do not know when the appointed time is. It's like a man away on a journey, who upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning each one to his own task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and you be found asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, be on alert. People, we got to be on alert. You got to be on alert about your marriage. You got to be on alert about your finances. But most important, you got to be on alert in your spiritual life about the coming of Jesus Christ. Secondly, you want to be on alert in regard to your daily life. Look at Luke. Look at Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 34. Luke 21:34. Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation, drunkenness, the worries of life. And that day come on you suddenly like a trap. But look what it says. And the worries of life. How much time do we lose about, I don't have this, this isn't happening, I'm losing here, and da-da-da-da, and all these types of things. It's not the spiritual realm. It's not those things that are eternal. Verse 35, for it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of all the earth, but keep on the alert at all times, praying, in order that you may have strength to escape all those things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. 3. Be on alert as to walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. Can't let this slip by you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 13. Be on the alert. Stand firm in faith. Act like men. Be strong. So easy to stop living by faith, people. That's what happened to Peter. That's the 3 denials of Peter, the lack of faith. That's what happened with Adam, absence of faith. People, you've got to guard that faith. Am I trusting God in this issue? Or am I trusting this? Am I trusting that? What are you trusting? I think some people today, we're getting ready for an election here, and I think some people are putting so much confidence in the man that isn't the president running, that they're thinking things are going to be, if he wins, like a lot of people thought things were going to be if Obama won. They didn't turn out the way they thought they'd win if the current president won, and they're not going to happen that way if that other man wins. So where's your confidence? Be on the alert. Stand firm in faith. 4. Be on alert as to prayer. Be on alert as to prayer. Not just giving thanks for food or now lay me down to sleep, but be on alert in our prayers, in our praying. I think one of the most wonderful things in my life, and getting married, was to have someone to pray with. And I still wonder, you know, where 2 or more are gathered. What about all my prayers when I was single? Did they just fly through the roof? I don't think so. But I'll tell you, it's wonderful to have someone to pray to. And I have to admit, I think her prayer life is better than mine. She'll wake up at 4, go in and start praying. I just pray and get back to sleep. But it's so important. Our prayer life is so vital. And I think we've just seen people, what? Jesus Christ prayed for Peter and he recovered. It's a power of prayer. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. I'll tell you about your prayer life. Devote yourselves, chapter 4, verse 2, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer. You know what devote means? Devote means I'm going to be in the gym every day. That's devote. Devote means I'm going to be in Bible class when it's there. Here's devote. Devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it. That is, be alert in your prayers with an attitude of thanksgiving. Pray and pay attention to what you're praying. One of the little joys, one of the great joys, but I mean, it's one of the joys in getting married, is that our grandchildren will spend the night sometime with us, and it's just, in my habit, before we go to bed, we pray. Well, they've got their little iPads, they're going, and they'll put that up. Ah! And okay, and then they'll kind of like this, and then I'll start praying, and it's open again. I go, no. You don't get to do that. The phone rings. We see we need a shoe shine. All kinds of things. Why do we close our eyes? There's no place in the Bible. Close your eyes, bow your head to pray. Why do we do that? Because you start looking. Oh, man, look at that. I need a shine. Look at that roach there. Boy, I Be alert, people. Think about who you're talking with. Talking to God. Pay attention to your prayer life. If you're thinking of God and His provision, His love, you cannot be thinking about the problems of life. It's a mindset. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 18. Ephesians 6:18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Holy Spirit. Every time you pray, be sure you're in the Holy Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. That's why I tell you people, I need your prayers every day. Each of you need each other's prayers. We don't know what's going on in everyone's life. I dare say, how many of you, in the time I've been here, how many of you really know what Jerry Jensen's about? What's going on? We don't know. don't shoot it down that far. People, he needs prayer. Wes Tuttle needs prayer. James Webb needs lots of prayer. He needs lots of prayer. We all do, people. Right here, you're praying for people that are in the battle. Look at Luke chapter 22. Uh-oh, isn't that where we are on our study of our journey? Yep, that's where we are. Look at Luke chapter 22. And let's look at verse 46. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus Christ to the disciples and to us. Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. People, you sense temptation. If you're alert, you're aware of it, go into prayer. That's what we said. See, I didn't just make that up when I was talking about Peter. He couldn't get in that gate. He needed to just drift along the side of the gate and go into prayer. Do I even belong inside that gate? Boy, I have a desire. I want to follow Jesus. I want to see what's going on with my Savior friend. I want to see. But I'm having trouble getting in. Is this the plan of God that I do or don't? But he didn't do that. You got to be alert so that you do not fall into temptation. Fifth, be alert in knowing that you're in a spiritual warfare. We'll see this on Sunday morning in our study in 1 Corinthians. Be alert, knowing that you're in a spiritual warfare. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's look together at verse 6, 1 Thessalonians 5, 6. Let us not sleep as others do, but be sober, be alert and sober. In other words, be under control. Here's a good place to grasp an understanding of be alert. The Greek concept here is seen in the combination of two English words, alert, which means ready for action, emphasis on the body, full vigor, and alicity, and that is being sharp, referring to the mind. The Greek word combines both the body being alert and the mind being alert. So we're to be alert, ready for action, ready for action. 6, we must always be alert, and here's a good one, because our adversary, the devil, is seeking just how to bring you down. People, he doesn't want just Peter, he wants every believer. He wants every Christian marriage, every Christian to fall and deny Jesus Christ, walk away from him. We must be alert of this. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5. Judith and I were talking about our likes in Bible class here, and I like to see people, hear people doing that. And now we got these computers now, and there it is, and you know, you don't hear anything, and there it is. But that's the day and time. I'm not against that. I'm glad that we turned to it. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, and let's read verses 8 and 9. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, tells you exactly who it is, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith. See, that's how you do it. How do you resist the devil? Firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Excuse me. So, people, we need to be alert. Always be alert. Why? He wants to take you down. He doesn't want you in Bible class. He wants to interrupt the marriage if he can. He'll use anything and everything. He knows every one of us. Some people it'll be an affair. Some people it'll be finances. Some people it'll be something else, family, whatever. He wants to bring it down. He doesn't care. He knows how. He knows how every one of us are vulnerable. Once it gets you to stop coming to Bible class, take your marriage down, take your life down, change your momentum, and then you'll walk away. Doesn't need you anymore. So we're to be on alert, which requires some basic things. Filling of the Holy Spirit, growing in the knowledge of the Word of God. So just to summarize, we're to be alert for the return of the Lord. Things that take place in our lives, in our faith, in our prayers, in the spiritual warfare, because of the adversary. In this great story of the three denials by Peter, we have so many lessons to learn. From Peter, be careful of boasting. From the Lord, pray for the fallen, those who are broken, those who do fall, those who do deny. And from Satan, he's out to get you. So we have lessons to learn from Peter, namely, be careful of boasting and your faith. Two, from the Lord, pray for those who do deny. And three, from Satan, he'll try to bring you down the best way that he can. I want to say a moment about somebody else. What about God the Father in all this? What about the Father? This brings us to the love of God the Father. From the study of Peter, we want to learn about the love of God the Father. We speak of His love, but we really don't grab hold of it experientially. We know about God's love for the unbeliever, don't we? For God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. To understand the value of a gift, we're studying this in Romans 5, you must understand the depth of the love. You must understand the giver. Now, don't get occupied with the gift. Get occupied with the giver. This is a love from the Father that we can respond to. Got to know Him. Be alert about Him at all times. I hope that all of you have responded to the love of knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. But people, it's in our Christian lives that we see how much more He has for us. He can do much more when we fail. He can do much more when we sin. He can do much more even when we are in denial. You're hurt in the middle of the night because of sin, failure, denial. You just want to come back and trust Him. You want to come back and trust Him. This is the great issue. If I just not have done this. But you did. So now we've got to deal with that fact. So what I want to close with here is the great test of faith. Peter's issue. Peter's battle is one of faith. Now, I want you to remember the difference between crisis of faith and testing of faith. Sometimes I know people that are not necessarily here, but others, they are here about the crisis of faith, and they confuse it with the testing of faith. Those are two different experiences in our life. Very quickly, the crisis of faith is when you stop trusting whatever you've been trusting in, and that will be most difficult, and start just trusting Him. I'll give you a one that is in our own familiarity. When you stop trusting your confessions and just start trusting in God the Holy Spirit, that's the crisis of faith. Most people cannot give up what they've been doing. When you stop trusting in the church, trusting in a man, trusting in the denomination, trusting in these things, and go to just trusting Him, that's the crisis of faith. And this is where a lot of people can't do it. They cannot do that. It's like the old story of the man who fall off of a cliff, grabbed over a little bush, said, "Father, please help me. God, please help me. Please help me. I am. You just let go." Let go? Let go? That's the crisis of faith. Do I let go of what I've been depending on and just trust Him? Do I have to keep trusting my ritual, my confession, my repentance, my church, my list, my laws, my legalism, whatever it is, and can I just trust Him? That's the crisis of faith. There are a lot of people who are in that realm. But what's the testing of faith? This is when your faith is under siege. Are you going to just trust Him? Continue to trust Him in this issue? Are you going to stop walking by faith? Are you so discouraged with God, with life, with people? You're just going to stop living the Christian life? Stop growing in the Word of God? People, this is the test of faith. It's a test of that grain of mustard seed. Peter just stopped trusting the Lord. He should have not stopped because he's had illustrations of it all along. But he stopped trusting Him. And he went to the flesh. The test of the faith. Tonight is a test of faith for Peter. While he did fail in round one, he will recover and he will move on. Let's look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 8, 3. James 1, 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, or as the NIV says, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. People, our faith is going to be tested. Are you going to just continue to trust me? Are you going to continue just trusting the Spirit? Or are you going to start taking matters into your own hand and become stressful, anxiety, depression, angry, get involved in criminal activity, on and on and on? Or are you just going to trust Him? It's a battle of faith. This night, Peter is under severe testing of faith, and he failed. And this is why it hurt to the depths of his soul. And he cried bitterly. I don't want you to have that kind of problem. But remember, if you do, God is there and His love is there. So you got to be on the alert for the testing of your faith. Got to be on alert. We'll see this in our study of Daniel. Israel, warned and warned and warned, do not go to Egypt. Trust me. They kept going to Egypt. You got to be alert about the testing of your faith. Okay, we have one more thing I want to cover next week in the three denials of Peter, and that's the love of Jesus Christ toward Peter in all of this, and I want to study Jesus Christ and Peter, and we'll take that up next Wednesday night. Any questions over tonight? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, not here to judge Peter, but we thank You that we can learn from him. We thank You I'm sure he's not too happy, wasn't too happy. It's part of it, your scripture. But we're thankful that you recorded this for our warning, our edification, our learning. Because he's no different than we are. He's no different than we are. We sin, we fail. Father, we thank you so much that your Spirit included these three denials in all four Gospels. A little more different types of information that we can learn and be warned in our own personal lives. Father, I pray you take the things we've seen tonight, make them part of our souls, and then a reality in our lives. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen.